And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. And Mickey, last time we spoke, you were in British Columbia, Canada, but you're back on home turf now. How's it feel?
It's good to be back in the desert in the summertime.
Okay, you're not roasting down there, are you?
No, it's actually been cool. We're getting into our thunderstorm monsoon season, so Okay. Pretty nice time of year down here.
Okay, with this show, we're going to take a final swing at a sector of the metals market that you're cool on. You could say it's in the Mickey Fulp doghouse as far as an investment play is concerned. We've talked about molybdenum, niobium, and tantalum, and now it's lithium. Before we talk about why it's not a metal that's going to attract your investing dollars, Mickey, provide us with some history of lithium. What is it and what is it used for?
Lithium's number 3 on the periodic table. It's the first solid, preceded by hydrogen and helium, of course. It's a very soft, silvery white metal, and because it's low on the periodic table, it's very lightweight. 25th most abundant element in the crust, so it is quite abundant. It gains uses because it's highly reactive, it's very flammable, and it's a good conductor. The first lithium mineral was discovered in 1800. The element was isolated and discovered in 1817. And a little clarification here for those in the junior resource sector, a bit of a pet peeve of mine, is lithium is a rare metal, but it is not a rare earth element.
Okay, now you say that's a pet peeve of yours. I'm getting the distinct impression that you find this commonly being referred to as a rare earth element in writings and interviews that you've read and that you've heard in the past?
Yes, that's exactly correct.
Okay, now Mickey, you said that lithium is highly reactive, it's flammable, it's a good conductor. What is it used for today?
Well, it was first used commercially by the Germans in 1923 as a high temperature grease. And it still used that to lubricate motors, etc. In the Cold War, say from 1950 through the 1980s, it was in demand and production was dominated by the U.S. because it's a precursor trigger for hydrogen bombs. Present-day uses include glass and ceramic industries are probably the biggest users right now. It's used in high-strength and low-weight steel alloys. That makes sense. Fairly unusual use is it's critical for smelting aluminum. The big demand now is for lithium-ion batteries. We'll talk some more about that later. And then, of course, we all know it for its medical use, probably best known for its ability to keep the manic depressants among us on an even keel.
Okay, and we should clarify for the audience that you and I are on a very even keel, aren't we?
I hope so, Rob.
Okay. Tell us where do we find lithium around the globe today? What are some of the big the production hotspots?
Well, it's found in many places in the world. It occurs in a couple of different geologic settings, actually three. Two are what would be called hard rock lithium, and those are relatively rare metals that occur in granite pegmatites and lithium-bearing clays in fossil lake beds. These hard rock lithium occurrences that have produced or are currently produced in Australia, Canada, U.S., Portugal, Zimbabwe, etc. But the real dominant geologic setting are the salt lake brines of closed basins, especially in the South American Altiplano of Argentina, Chile, and Bolivia, the Great Basin of Nevada and Southeast California, China, in the desert parts of China, and of course we're all familiar with what we talked about in our last show, and that's the new lithium discovery by the USGS in Afghanistan.
Okay, Mickey, you referred to the brines, Low Cap X. Who exactly are these brine producers?
Well, world production, actually, Rob, is controlled by four entities. SQM is a giant Chile corporation that produces 30% of the world's lithium. Rockwood, which is also known as Chemetall and Foote, is a U.S.-based company, but with history in Germany, actually with the first producers that we talked about earlier. They have mines or brine deposits in Argentina, Chile, and Nevada. They control 28% of world production. China, 22%. FMC, the giant chemical and food machinery company in the U.S., controls 19%. So you add all that up, that only leaves 1% for all the other producers, and that's mainly a hard rock lithium mine, Talison's Greenbushes Pegmatite in Australia. You notice, Rob, that these are chemical companies. They're not mining companies. But the three largest competitors, and we're ignoring China right now,
right.
It is a very opaque and secretive market. It's got spot price pricing. Essentially, sales are done by appointment over the table, negotiated, and there's no futures market.
Okay, if you're talking, you're basically talking about a cartel here. Tell me, how does a cartel then meet increased demand in the future? I guess basically they're in control of the tap, so they can pretty well do what they want, can't they, in supplying the market?
Well, that's my opinion. I think the cartel, they have huge reserves, and there are brine expansion plans with two of them, SQM, the Chilean company, and then Chemetall Foot, the U.S.-based company. And then China right now has vast unused capacity. You know, those numbers are hard to get, but it looks like their capacity is at least double what they're producing right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a possible new mines on the horizon if demand would increase drastically, or perhaps take over targets by the cartel. The prime one would be the Rincon deposit, which has a pilot plan in the Salars of Argentina. I think they're a takeover candidate. That's an Australian company. Here's an interesting one that has a strategic offtake, and that would be Oro Cobre, which is another Australian company that has gone into joint venture with Toyota in a brine lake in Argentina. Then the wild card of all this is Evo Morales in Bolivia with Comibol, which is the Bolivian mining company. And the thought is that the Russians and Chinese might make a deal with them. So you add all that up, and there's no room in the market, really.
Okay, well, tell me about the exploration side of this business, Mickey. Is it a crowded space right now?
Well, it certainly is. You know, it's probably apparent that lithium's another specialty metal that I love to hate.
Mm-hmm.
There are 53 companies in the junior resource space on the Venture Exchange right now. That was in January. Those numbers are courtesy of Glenn Jones, the guys that make the Intera maps that we see at all the shows. But basically, the juniors poured in 2009, right when demand was falling 20%, and then of course prices fell 20% in early 2010. There's probably three or four juniors with viable mine projects,
mm-hmm.
but it appears to me that they're too late to an invitation-only game. You know, I think these hard rock projects are stillborn. There was a mine in Manitoba produced for a number of years, hard rock lithium. It shut down last year. So there might be some brine projects that are viable, but I don't think they'll ever make mines. You know, my friend Chris Ecclestone, Halgarten, New York City, likes to say that Aussies build the mines and the Canadians promote. I would say that exactly that. Aussies build mines, Canadians mine the stock market in this instance.
Okay, and this is an area of the mining area of the stock market that you don't think investors should really dabble in terms of an investment play.
I don't, and I would not advise it.
Okay, well, let's end it on that note. Mickey, next time out, we're going to break the string and talk about something that you actually do like, correct?
Well, that's true. We've done enough negative shows, so let's get back on a positive track here. And gold's been quite robust since the last time we talked, so we'll do an update on the gold market.
Okay, we'll talk bullion in a couple of weeks. Talk to you then, Mickey. Thanks very much for this.
Thank you, Rob.
And that's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.